Welcome to the Midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and as promised, we have some live music during this hour, courtesy of two performers. They are Johannes Wallman and Eric Kappa, and they're here partly because, well, the timing is because the Isthmus Jazz Festival starts tomorrow, and it goes through Saturday in Madison on the Memorial Terrace. Johannes Wallman is the director of the UW Jazz Orchestra, which is going to be performing on Saturday at 6 p.m., the music of San Francisco-based composer and bassist Marcus Shelby, who will be a featured guest bassist, in fact, with the UW Jazz Orchestra. And Johannes will also be featured as guest soloist with the Edgewood College Big Band, which is going to be performing at 2 o'clock this coming Saturday afternoon. And Eric Kappa is the lead alto saxophonist with the Madison Jazz Orchestra, which is going to be performing at 10 p.m. Friday evening. I like those jazz hours, you know. I mean, if this were a classical concert, it would be 7:30, 8 o'clock. But jazz, you know, 10.
Oh, it's all day. On Saturday, we start at 2 p.m. and we go till midnight until the mayor tells us to
turn it down or turn it off. Well, welcome to the Midday, both of you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
And I should mention also, in case I forget later, that Johannes Wallman Quintet is going to be performing, let's say, August 14th at part of an outdoor concert series. That's 5 o'clock every Wednesday in August, in fact, after the 14th. Is that how that works?
That's right. Well, it starts on the first Thursday in August, and there's a stage at the top of State Street.
Right.
And, yeah, at 5 o'clock, it's off, you know, after the Concerts on the Square series wraps up, continue Wednesdays with jazz.
And then your trio is going to be playing, actually does play most Saturday evenings in Madison at the Fountain. That's on State Street. And usually features special guests, including Eric Kappa. So great to have both of you here. And you're fairly recent to the University of Wisconsin, I gather.
Yeah, I just finished my first year.
I'll finish your first year as the director of jazz activities at the UW.
Jazz studies, yeah. We're reviving and reforming the jazz performance degree.
And how did you come by jazz? How did you discover it?
Oh, you know, I'm such a big believer in quality music education, because that's what brought me to jazz. I've been playing piano since before I can remember. My parents got me started at a very young age, and played classical piano. Just enjoyed it. It wasn't completely my passion. I think I was a little bit more interested in playing soccer as a kid, but I enjoyed it enough to stick with it. And then my family moved to Canada when I was 12, and we had just a terrific band teacher and a jazz band in the high school, and that was my first exposure, and just fell in love with it right away.
So you pretty much took the jazz trajectory from that point on.
Yeah.
Jazz is one of those forms of music that becomes increasingly diverse.
Yes.
Over the years. And it's gone through some interesting phases in the past 100 years or so, from the things that would be almost like Scott Joplin into the early New Orleans sound, and big bands, of course, of the 30s and 40s. And then by the 50s, it goes into the smaller ensembles. And then we have this thing eventually called fusion, where it seems as if almost anything can be jazz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then a more recent development, really since the since the 50s and 60s, is that all of those forms kind of stuck around, and there are people making new music with all of that, with in a 30s swing style and a 40s bebop style. There are people playing free jazz today, and fusion and hard bop and so on. So all of these genres, they splintered to some degree, but they're all alive and well. And which I guess it's not just true for jazz, but we get that huge eclectic diversity in classical music and in popular music too. So
you do. Although it seems as if jazz is particularly given to the almost anything goes. But we'll get into that a little bit more later as to what is really indisputably jazz, but let's have some first.
All right. So this is a composition of mine entitled Water Music for People Without Aquariums. Thank you.
Water Music for People Without Aquariums by Johannes Wallmann, who is the pianist in that performance here in our live Buck Studio broadcast today. And Eric Koppel was the alto saxophonist, and both are performing for this hour of the midday, and also will be performing, it sounds like, quite a bit this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, it's going to be a good week in Madison for jazz musicians and jazz fans.
The Isthmus Great. Jazz Festival. Have you participated? Well, you've only been around for a year, but have you participated before?
I have not. No, this will be a new experience for me.
This is also my first year participating.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I've only been in Madison for about 3 years and have played with the Madison Jazz Orchestra for 3 years, but missed the first cycle. And it seems that the bands have been playing every other year, and we're back, and really excited to be there for the 10 o'clock show tomorrow.
So, Eric, as a saxophonist, is jazz pretty much it for you? I mean, there are some wonderful classical saxophone parts, of course, by the time you get into the 20th century, and in other genres too, but I mean, it's really probably more associated with jazz than any other form, isn't it?
I had the luxury of studying both classical and jazz in college and have a degree from Western Michigan, where I studied with Trent Keniston, who really was one of the world's finest classical saxophonist. He learned jazz later in his career, and my discipline with him started with classical music, primarily. My love coming into school was of jazz. So that's where I really was challenged by Trent and learned so much from him and had the opportunity to work with world-class jazz saxophonists and world-class classical saxophonists. And now in my professional pursuits, I play more jazz, but also R&B and blues and hip-hop and funk. And the saxophone's one of those instruments, because it was introduced so late, it was adopted quickly, I think, in the popular musics. And I've had a really fun time fitting the saxophone into different settings. And that's been a real challenge, but also a real reward and a blessing.
Do you travel around a fair amount to find enough to do?
I do. I was on the road at one point in my life with the Glenn Miller Band, and realized the road life wasn't for me. But I'm a Midwest saxophonist. I play all over the Midwest. I love traveling via car. Not bus so much, but it takes me everywhere. Michigan and Illinois. I lived in Chicago for 10 years and played a lot there. And now I'm just really enjoying playing Wisconsin, and I just love this state.
They call those ghost bands, don't they?
Glenn
Miller and Dorsey. I don't know how many of them are out there, but
there's a few left. The Glenn Miller still, I think, is the busiest big band in the world. And it's been, I miss playing in the big bands, but as Johannes mentioned, they're still alive and well. You can play almost any style of music these days, and there's a 20s and 30s band in Chicago I play with called the Prohibition Orchestra, and playing original arrangements from the Belvin.
Have you ever been busted?
Well, nobody's really been busted yet, but we've played some pretty fun speakeasies that literally were speakeasies back in the day, and that's been a wonderful opportunity. But playing with Johannes has really been a treat, and I've mentioned this to him again and again, and we're just so lucky to have him here in Madison, and it's been a real treat playing here, and I just wanted to thank him for having me.
Oh, go on.
All right, enough of that. Well, just one more question about the big bands then, since you've had that experience, and that is the original big bands, I think, probably played for people to dance to almost exclusively.
Almost exclusively.
Whereas the ghost bands, it's more like a concert experience. Does it seem to you at all like there's a kind of a disconnect in that formula?
There's a dancing community out there that is alive and well, and yet they fly under the radar. You really have to dig to find them. But it's always more fun to play for dancers than it is just a listening audience. But before the dance bands were popular, the 20s and 30s music also incorporated small, what we consider a big band today, but they were playing popular music. And you had a blending of real classical trained artists bringing in a new music that was a listening music. But quickly, it moved people to dance, and then there it took off to be a dance music.
Well, another difference between us, seems to me, at least on a good day, between classical music and jazz is that there is a tradition of all kinds of background noise at a jazz performance, right? I mean, if you're playing in a club, you have dishes clattering and people talking and all of that. Not to mention the smoke, of course, in the old days.
We're happy we don't have to deal with the smoke anymore.
Jazz musicians that cost us over the years. But is that still part of the baggage that comes with jazz performance? And if so, is that how do you feel about that?
You know, I think, conflicted. It kind of depends on the venue and how it's presented. I think one of the real strengths that jazz can have is that it can be fun. Going to a club that's a little bit less formal, getting to enjoy having a drink while listening to the music, I think provides a comfortable atmosphere that people really enjoy. So it seems maybe less like an assignment or art up on a pedestal. Type of thing. But of course, that can easily also tip into distraction. And we've, all of us have played way too many gigs where, an audience kind of saw that as an invitation to have a conversation while you're playing. Mm-hmm. And then those conversations start competing with the music and start getting louder and louder. And somebody is, shaking drinks in the back and so on. So, those are venues that we maybe don't enjoy playing at quite as much. But it can range anywhere from a concert hall setting where people are, listening very, very intensely to maybe a club where they're listening just as intensely or some situations where either by design or by default you end up in more of a background kind of role.
Well, Beethoven had the same experience, that famous example of him playing the piano, and there was a young man and a young woman in the front row, I think, just having a conversation, and he gets up, "For solche Schweine spiele ich nicht," I'm not going to play for pigs like that, and he just walked up and left. So I guess it's in one venue or another been a problem for a long time. We're having live music from our Buck studio today for the midday, and my guests are Johannes Wallmann and Eric Kappa, piano and saxophone, alto saxophone, respectively, and you have a standard here.
Yeah, we're going to play Starlight by Starlight, which apparently is the 10th most popular jazz standard out there for people keeping track of these things. And this is actually the first time that Eric and I are playing in a duet setting together. We've worked in all kinds of different settings, and I thought it'd be nice for us to just kind of have this musical conversation with each other, which has been just really fun getting ready for this. And so when we looked at repertoire to do, we're both playing tomorrow evening with the Madison Jazz Orchestra, and one of the pieces that the Madison Jazz Orchestra will be playing is Starlight by Starlight, and it'll feature Eric as the featured soloist on alto sax. And so we thought, he sounded so good on it. I said, well, why don't we play that on the radio too, and give you a small group version with him on tenor and me on piano, and just see where that's going to take us.
By Starlight, that's a Victor Young tune, and it was originally from the 1944 movie The Uninvited. Been done many times, of course, since, as we're told, it's the number 10 most popular jazz standard out there. We have a composition by Eric Kappa next. It's called Regions. Mm-hmm. What about it?
This was written many years ago. I would say 10 plus. And it's a composition inspired by Richie Bayrak and Mal Waldron and some of the composers from the 50s, the 60s, 70s that really have pushed the envelope harmonically and yet have remained mainstream jazz musicians. And this is entitled Regions because it goes through many different musical regions and brings a listener back to where we started, kind of like a rondo form.
regions. Did you leave any notes on the piano untouched, Johannes? If so, you may touch them now.
I saved them for the next year. Yeah.
That's quite a, as you say, far-ranging composition.
And it was fun to have an opportunity to play free, which jazz musicians like to do sometimes, but oftentimes you can get pegged as a free player and get in trouble for it.
As a free player.
I absolutely love the free movement, and the AACM musicians moved me as a young person, and people like Ornette Coleman and the later John Coltrane, their explorations into free playing inspires me still today. I don't get too many opportunities to play free, but when I do, it's just liberating.
Well, we have something that really helps to point out, as these other pieces have, that jazz has one strength that it's taken, I think, classical music a long time to figure out, and that is colorful titles. You know, I mean, it's not just a great marketing device, but it just somehow makes the piece more compelling. And A House for Men and Birds.
Yeah, I came across this beautiful poem by the Persian 14th century poet Hafiz. And the first line of it is, build a house for men and birds, sit with them, and play music. And
this is what it sounds like.
Yeah. And, you know, it's about, well, the rest of it's actually pretty short. So the rest of it is, for a day, for just one day, talk about that which disturbs no one and bring some peace, my friend, into your beautiful eyes.
Where did you find this poem?
Oh, collected.
You just read Persian poetry casually on
well,
your day
I,
off.
Well, I got to tell you, he's the only one I know. I know, but I know some friends hit me to his writings.
Well, here it is.
All right.
A House for Men and Birds by Johannes Wallmann, who will be playing it.
Thank you.
House for Men and Birds. Do you ever feel when you're playing in an ensemble, either of you, that and somebody has, you know, an improv and they kind of take the spotlight, do you ever feel, well, they're getting a little carried away? When do the rest of us get to play? Do you ever have that feeling?
Well, you kind of hope, you hope for that. And, you know, that they get carried away because I think that's what makes it infectious. For, you know, for the audience, but you also hope that they're always, you know, it's like a good conversation. You hope at all times you're able to contribute to the conversation as well, and that's what makes it such a pleasure to play in this duet format.
And a real challenge too at times for a single voice instrument like a saxophonist. I am trying to accompany Johannes as a pianist, bassist, drummer, but with one voice. And so at times I have an underlining theme or a pulse that I'd like to keep for him, but also want to play off of what he's doing and some of his ideas. So it presents a real challenge, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, let's see if we can get in two more.
Okay.
Time for two more. Which would you choose? You have a couple of solos I see here.
Yeah, this is a composition of mine from that I recorded back in 2001 on an album called Alphabeticity. And I wanted to add a ballad to this program. And this is a maybe the piece I've written that comes the closest to sort of a traditional jazz standard. That was certainly my inspiration to aim for that. And this piece is entitled As I Think of You. And here it goes.
As I think of you, Johannes Wallmann, composer and pianist. Well, shall we get right to one more that'll bring in both of you, bring back our saxophonist, Eric Koppa.
All right, this is I Could Have Danced All Night, and hopefully for your listeners who are able to make it to the Isthmus Jazz Festival, Friday, Saturday night, we're going till midnight, and we hope we leave you feeling that way. This is from My Fair Lady, I Could Have Danced All Night.
That's a sweet arrangement. Where did that come from?
You know, sticking pretty close to the original version, just slowing it down a little bit because, you know, sometimes you don't want to dance quite at that.
you don't want to dance.
Full tempo.
Oh, yeah, full
for
tempo.
For all ages.
All night.
That one's slowed down a little bit.
That's true, too. Now, did I see that you have an East Coast tour in the works?
Yeah, I'm going to be in New Hampshire and Vermont mostly, just for a few days, and ramping up actually to record my next album
in New York.
In New York with some fine musicians I've worked with back when I used to live there, as well as a Milwaukee-based trumpet player, Russ Johnson. And so look for that in. Do they still have stores? Look for that online. Look for that online.
We still
next
have
year.
Stores. Well, yeah. There may be a few of them out there. And Eric, what do you have shaping up after the Isthmus Jazz Festival?
I'll be heading to one of my favorite places in the world, and that's in near Muskegon, Michigan, in Blue Lake Fine Arts Camp, nestled in the forest right near Lake Michigan, where I'll be teaching youth, guiding them through the jazz arts, and conducting a big band and having a lot of fun with the faculty and doing some recording with some really fine musicians who've been coming to camp year after year. And I'll be there for about 2 weeks coming up.
Well, thanks both of you for stopping by for the midday today and performing and filling us in on what sounds like the cusp of a very busy summer.
We're looking forward to it.
Been a great pleasure having
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Johannes Wallmann and Eric Koppa.